Knesset, good morning. Let's begin. So a lot to do today. Today's daf is Tzadik Vav. We left off on Tzadik Hei Amud Beis. 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, we ended off by saying yesterday, Amrad Yehuda Meshmua Halach Krabiosi. So we mentioned this, we spoke out the Shulchan Aruch yesterday in Evan HaEzer, in Simen Tesvav, that Halach HaFaz Rabbi Yosi. Mas Kifar Rabbi Yosef, Umiyamar Shmua Hachi, did Shmua Lach truly say this, that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yosi? I, the Gemara says, V'ha Itmar, but yet we learned Yevama, when it comes to Yevama, what's her status? Rav Amar Harihi Ke'esh Esish. Rav says she's treated just like a married woman. We'll discuss exactly what that means in just a moment. Ushmuel Amar in a Ke'esh Esish. And Shmuel said, no, she is not treated like a married woman. So the Gemara says, V'am Rav Huna, what's the case? Kigon Shekideish. Kigon Shekideish Achiv Es Ha'isha. So let's say again, a man betrothed a woman. So we have Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven went ahead and betrothed the woman. V'halach lo l'medina sayam. And what happened? Reuven went overseas. And again, v'shama shemes, he heard that he got testimony. Rushimin, the surviving brother, got testimony that Reuven died. V'shama shemes achiv v'amad v'nasa es ishto. And Shimon went ahead and married the woman to whom Reuven was betrothed. And I will say, of course, again, what ends up happening when Reuven comes back? So the Gemara says, Rav amar hari keish esish v'asur liyavam. So Rav says that what? That this woman is treated like an Eishas, she's treated like a regular wife, and therefore she's Asur to the Yavam. Now Yavam in this context means the first husband. The reason the Gemara calls him the Yavam is because technically speaking, were his brother to die without children, he would go ahead and do Yibum. So the Gemara says, Shmuel Amar, Einik Eishas Ish V'Sharilei. And Shmuel says, no, she is not treated like an Eishas Ish. And ultimately, again, she is in fact permitted to the first husband. Amar li Abaye. So Abaye said, Umi Maidchi Amar Shmuel Ach Rabbi Yosi Ad Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka Kamar. So says Abaye, how do you know that when Shmuel said Alach Vaz Rabbi Yosi, that was in line with Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka's interpretation of Rabbi Yosi? Dilma Ad Rabbi Ami Kamar. Maybe it was Rabbi Ami's interpretation of Rabbi Yosi, as we saw yesterday. V'inami, furthermore, Ad Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, mimai da aposel. How do you know that even if you hold like Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha's interpretation of Rabbi Yosi, that is talking about the situations where ultimately again that he would invalidate her top of Tzadik Vav, Dilma ain aposel. Perhaps it's referring to the cases ultimately again where she would not be posel. Inami, another possibility, mimai di isel Rav Huna, Dilma las ad Rav Huna klal. So how do you know that he holds of Rav Huna? Maybe he doesn't hold of Rav Huna at all. So the Gemara says, maybe what they're arguing about is the shita of Rav Hamnuna. Do Amar Rav Hamnuna, because Rav Hamnuna said, Shomeres Yavam Shazinsa, if a Shomeres Yavam engaged in this, also remember, a Shomeres Yavam is a woman who's waiting for Yibum. So let's say again, she has relations with another man while she is waiting for Yibum. So what is the halacha? Asura li Yavama. She becomes Asura to her Yavam. De Rav Amar, because Rav said, Harihi Ke'eshes Ish, that a Shomeres Yavam who's waiting for Yibum is like a married woman. And the same way that if a married woman engages in Znus, engages in immorality, ultimately, again, she is Asura to her husband. So too, if a Shomeres Yavam goes ahead and engages in a relationship outside of her Yavam, who's waiting to do Yibam with her, she also becomes prohibited to the Yavam, just like a married woman. Umifsla biznos. Ushmul Amar Shmuel says, no, Eina Ke'eshes Ish. No, a Shomeres Yavam is not like a married woman. V'lo Mifsla biznos. And therefore, again, I will say, interestingly enough, she would not become prohibited to the Yavam through engaging in an act of znus. So meaning if the Shomeres Yavam was waiting to perform Yibum, and then she has a physical relationship with another man, that would not preclude her from doing Yibum with the Yavam. V'inami, yeah, by the way, that's how we paskin, like that second approach. V'inami, b'kidushin tovsin b'yavama kamiflagi. Or maybe what they're arguing about is, does another man have the ability to be makadesh yavama? Meaning, let's say a woman is waiting to do Yibum. Does another man have the ability to affect kidushin with this woman who is waiting for Yibum? The Rav Amar Rav said, Hari Keshishish. Rav says she's like a married woman. And just like a married woman can't accept Kiddushin from another man, so too again a Yevama can't accept Kiddushin from another man. V'lo tafsiba Kiddushin. Therefore, Kiddushin does not take effect. Ushmul Amar Shmuel said, no, Eina Keshishish. She is not like a married woman. V'tafsiba Kiddushin. And in fact, she could accept Kiddushin from another man. I, the Gemara says, Vaha ifligu ba, Vaha ifligu ba chadazina. But we already spoke about this machlokes once. to which the Gemara says Chada Mechlal Dechaverta Itmar Inachinami. But again, one machlokis was kind of inferred from the other. Okay, I'm sorry. That a Yavama can accept Kiddushin from another man. Because again, remember, this goes back to what we said before, because for a Yavama to marry a man who's not her Yavam is a lav. Because it's only a lav, therefore Kiddushin Tovsin. So it could work, but it's Aser. Says the Mishnah, Amrlo. Okay, so let me give you actually for this. It's been a while since we've had a Yibum chart handout. This is from the art scroll. So if you have the art scroll tomorrow, you don't need this. For those who don't have the art scroll, I just wanted to Xerox this for you. Again, we're going to use it for 2 minutes. It's not, and it looks more complicated than it actually is. And it's interesting that the Gemara chooses to introduce this now. Maishi, thank you. So look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Amr lo, Mesa Ishtecha. So again, I will say what happens. We'll call him Reuven. So Reuven is married to a woman. And what happens? She goes overseas. And they tell him, your wife died. So what does he do? V'nasa achosa me'aviha. He marries her paternal sister. So if you're looking now, if you're looking at that bottom chart where it says five half-sisters. So the way this starts is Reuven begins by marrying A. We'll just call her A for now. Right, so he marries A. What happens? He gets testimony that A died. So what does he do? He marries B. Now, if you look at that, if you look at the diagram, so B and A are paternal sisters. So he marries what he thinks is his deceased wife's paternal sister, which again, no problem. His wife is dead, or at least he thinks she is. So what happens? Mesa. So now B dies, and what happens? Venasa achosa meima, and he marries B's maternal sister, who is C. Okay, Mesa, C died, Vinasa achosa me'aviha. And he goes and he marries C's paternal sister, who is D. Mesa, D dies, Vinasa achosa me'ima. And he marries, yes, busy guy. And he marries her maternal sister. And I will say, what happens? Vinimtsu kulan kayamos. Now what happens? It turns out, Whoever this Eid Echad was, he just got confused on a couple of facts, and it turns out all five women are still alive and kicking. I know who they're going to be kicking, right? But they are alive and kicking, right? So what happens? Well, obviously the question is, what's the status of these marriages? So what does the Mishnah say? Mutter Barishona Ubishlishis Ubechamishis. See, he is permitted to go ahead and remain married to wives 1, 3, and 5, which are both saying makes sense, because again, remember, he can't remain married to B, because B is the paternal sister of A, is the sister of A. So therefore, that man, again, A is still alive, so the marriage to B was never valid. C is not related to A at all. Therefore, again, since the marriage to B was not valid, therefore the marriage to C is valid. Okay, but however, if the marriage to C was valid, the marriage to D, who is her paternal sister, is not valid. But because the marriage to D is not valid, the marriage to E is valid, because Lamaisa, they're not related. So essentially, every other wife he is still married to, because Lamaisa, they're not related to each other. So essentially, the marriages that were affected, the marriages that were made to the sister of his already existing wife, so are not valid, but the marriages to the non-sisters are valid. That's what I'm saying. It's complicated for this guy, but it's actually not a complicated case in terms of the details. Upotros tsaros sehen. Right. Ultimately, again, their co-wives would be exempt from Yibum. Va'aser bishnia uberevius. He is not permitted to remain married to wives number 2 and 4. Because again, remember, B is the sister of A, and D is the sister of C. Ve'ein bias achas mehen poteres sarasa. And again, if you were to have relations with one of them, let's say in a Yibum context, it would be a meaningless act, and it would not exempt the co-wife. Ve'im ba'al ashnia la'achar misas harishona. And I will say, if he has relations with B after the death of A, meaning this doesn't just mean relations, what it means is, let's say now he gets definitive testimony that A really died. Real death, mamish like matseva and everything, right? No witnesses, right? She really dies. So at that point in time, he's permitted to go ahead and marry B. V'balashnia la'achar misas harishona, muter b'shnia Ubirivius, then he at that point in time he'd be permitted in wives number 2 and 4. Upotros tsarosehen, and ultimately again he would go ahead and exempt their co-wives from Yibum. V'asra b'shlishes u'b'chamishes, but obviously Rabbi say once he becomes permitted in wives 2 and 4, he becomes prohibited in wives 3 and 5, which Rabbi say of course makes sense because Lamaisa, once you're married to 2 and 4, by definition 3 and 5 are their sisters, therefore it won't work. V'ein bias achas men poteres sarasa, and be with one of them will not exempt the co-wife from Yibum. Fine. So we'll say, so that's that section. Next section of Mishnah, totally unrelated. Ben Teisha Shana V'Yom Echad. So we'll say, let's say you have a boy who is 9 years old and one day. Now remember, we've seen that this is a significant age because it is assumed by Chazal that at this age, so the Bia is a Bia. Right, he's the bia of a 9-year-old boy in one day is an effective bia. So the Gemara says, "Who posel al yedei achin?" He could go ahead and forbid the other brothers from doing yibum. We'll discuss what this case is in just a moment. Va'achin posel al yado, and the brothers could go ahead and posel him from doing yibum as well. Ella, who posel tchila? He could only posel in the beginning, and again, we'll define what this means. Va'achin posel tchila v'sof. But the brothers could go ahead and posel b'osai. In this context, means that lemaisa they could prevent it from doing yibum both at the beginning and at the end. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "Who posel tchila? Kishebal tchila." That if he has relations with the yavam, Rabbi will say, "What does he do?" Now remember, he can't affect yibum because he is a katan, he's a minor. But his bia is a halachically significant bia, and therefore, what it would do is preclude the other brothers from doing yibum. So again, he could ruin it, so to speak, for the other brothers by having bia with her initially, but yet he doesn't ruin it, he can't negate it basof. We'll discuss what that means. But the other brothers could preclude him from doing anything, both in the beginning and the end. Ketzad, and again, we'll define these cases in the Gemara. Ketzad, ben teisha shana v'yom echad sheba yivinto, that if you have a boy who is 9 years old and one day had relations with the yivam, with his sister-in-law, pasul al yedei achin, he prevents the other brothers from going ahead and doing any kind of yibum, meaning he ruins the possibility for them to do yibum. However, bo al achin, but if the brothers, if one of the brothers, meaning not the katan, had relations with her, va'asu ba ma'amar, or they went ahead and they did ma'amar with her, or nasnu get, or they gave her a get, o chaltu, they did chalitza, postlin al yado, they negate the ability of the younger brother to go ahead and do anything with this yavam. Says the Gemara. So we'll say, first the Gemara begins on commenting on the first section of the multiple wives / sisters. Atu kulu la'achar misas rishon ninu. So we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah made it sound like, again, that ultimately, that what's the case? That after the first one died, what was the lashon here? Misas harishona mutar b'shniya. So we'll say, makes it like after the death of the first wife, that she is permitted to marry the second wife. So the second, we'll call her B. So as they ask the Gemara, is it only the second wife who becomes permitted after the first? They all become permitted after the first. To which the Gemara says, Amar Avsheshes, la'achar misas rishona vaday. No, what it means is that only after the first one is definitively dead. Meaning, because remember, we got into problems in this Mishnah because he received testimony that she was dead, but she wasn't really dead, and therefore the subsequent marriages were halachically problematic. Therefore, when it says after the death of the first, he's permitted in the second one, it means after the definitive death of the first, then that opens up his possibilities for all of these women. Ben teisha shanim v'yom echad tchila pasil, basof lo pasil. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara makes a statement that if you have, let's say again, Reuven dies, and he leaves behind a number of surviving brothers, one of them happens to be a boy of 9 years old in one day. And what happens? So if he has relations with the widow, then ultimately, again, if that happens first, he prohibits the other brothers from doing anything. However, basov, if the other brothers already did something, whatever that something is, ma'amar, chalitza, obviously not yibum, because if he did yibum, then that would be an act of adultery. So leave that aside. But if one of the other brothers did something, ma'amar, chalitza, get, then lemaisa, again, and then the younger brother, this 9-year-old in one day brother, has bia with her. Ultimately, again, it would not invalidate the yibum. Rashi says, "Lebasof lo pasul im asaba gadol ma'amar kodem bias bentesha." If let's say the other brother, or we'll call the older brother, surviving brother, did ma'amar, and then the younger brother, 9 years old and one day, had bia with the yavama, lo pasul la bias bentesha ba ma'amar. Ultimately, again, the bia of the 9-year-old and 1-day child does not go ahead and negate the ma'amar of the older brother. I have a hotani Rav Zvid Barab Oshia, but Rav Zvid Barab Oshia said, Ose ma'amar b'yivim tov achach ba'achav, shehu ben teshon v'yom echad ala, pasla. But yet we learned that what? If someone does ma'amar with the yivama, and afterwards, what happens? And afterwards, ba'achiv, the brother comes along, shehu ben tes shana v'yom echad, who's 9 years old in one day, and has relations with her. What happens? Pasla, it negates the ma'amar. So both say, what's the point over here? The point over here is that lamaisa, we're seeing that the bia of the katan does have the ability to undermine the ma'amar of the older brother. Amri, so we say, bia pasla filo basof. The truth is, you're right. If he has bia with her, so the bia of the 9-year-old and 1-day brother has the ability to negate the ma'amar of the older brother, whether that bia occurs first or that bia occurs after the ma'amar. However, ma'amar, tchila pasil, basof lo ma'amar, but the ma'amar of a 9-year-old and 1-day brother, if that's done first, then what? Then that will prohibit the other brothers from doing anything. But if the ma'amar of the 9-year-old and 1-day brother comes after the acts of the other brothers, so that ma'amar is insignificant. Ubiya afilu basof pasul, is that true? That basof say, now based on what we're saying over here is like this, that the bia of a katan has the ability, of the 9-year-old and 1-day boy, has the ability to negate the yibum efforts of any of the other brothers, whether that bia comes first or whether that bia ultimately again is after the ma'amar or the ma'amar of one of the other brothers. Is that true? V'haktani, we learned, elashu posel tchila, v'hein tchila o'asof. But yet we said in the Mishnah that the 9-year-old and 1-day brother only has the ability to what? To go ahead and passel the yivama if he acts first. But yet the other brothers have the ability to go ahead and prevent the 9-year-old and 1-day brother from going in and doing anything, whether they do it betchila or basof. Ketzal, what's the case? Ben teisha shana v'yom echad. We'll say second wide line. Ben teisha shana v'yom echad sheba'a yivimto. So we'll say, so what happens? If you have a child, right, the surviving brother who is 9 years old in 1 day, and he had relations with his yivama. So we'll say, what does that sound like? That sounds like only if what? Only if he acted first does he ruin it for the rest of the brothers. But if the other brothers acted first, the katan would not have ruined it. To which the Gemara says, Chisur Mesavach Katan, you're right, there's a piece missing, here's how you have to read it. Ben Teisha Shana V'Yom Echad, if you have a surviving brother who is 9 years old in 1 day, who posel tchila, v'hein posel tchila, v'sof. So we'll say, what happens? If that 9-year-old in 1 day brother does something in the beginning, now again, there's something the Gemara is not qualifying yet, right? So he does something, now it sounds like whether that's bia or ma'amar, he prevents the other brothers from doing yibum. The other brothers have the ability to prevent this katan from doing anything, whether they act before him or after him. When is that? So, b'ma'amar. Avabia poselas afilu basov. So we'll say, when is this true? The only with ma'amar, but with bia, if the 9-year-old and 1-day boy has bia with the yavama, whether he does that before his older brothers act or whether he does it after his older brothers act, he prevents them from furthering the yibum relationship. Ketzad, what's the case? Ben tesh shana v'yom echad abal yevimto pasol ayidei achin. If the brother who was 9 years old and 1 day had relations with the yavama, he prevents the other brothers from doing anything. Umi isle ma'amar klal ayidei achin. And is there this concept of ma'amar at all that he could prohibit his brothers? V'hatanya, but we learned, ben tes shana v'yom echad, hu posel b'davar echad, v'achin posel ayadu ba'ar b'dvarim. But yet we learned in a braisa, that's what Rabbah say, that if you have a surviving brother who is 9 years old in 1 day, there is one way in which he is able to prevent his brothers from performing yibum, and there are 4 ways in which they could prevent him from doing anything. Hu posel ayadu achin b'biyah, the only way he prevents his brothers from acting is how Rabbah say, is through bia, if he has bia with the yavama, v'achin posel ayadu b'biyah, b'ma'amar, but yet the other brothers could go ahead and prevent him from doing anything in 4 ways, either through bia, ma'amar, chalitza, or a get. To which the Gemara says, here's the answer. Bia de pasla be mitchila be misov psikale. So I'm going to say, here's the difference. Bia that has the ability to prevent the other brothers from doing anything, meaning if the 9-year-old and 1-day boy has bia with the yavama, whether before the other brothers did anything or after the other brothers did something, so the Gemara states that without qualification. Ma'amar debichil pasal, b'sof lo pasal lo psikale. But again, ma'amar, which only invalidates it for the other brothers if the 9-year-old and 1-day boy did it first, ultimately the Gemara did not state without qualification. fine. Itmar Nami, so we also learned, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yesh lo get, that a katan has the ability to prevent Yibam from happening if he gives a get to the Yavama. V'chin Amar Rav Tachliva Baravimi, Yesh lo ma'amar. So Rav Tachliva Baravimi said, he also has the ability of ma'amar. Tanya Nami Achi, a Raisa that supports this, Yesh lo get v'yesh lo ma'amar. It's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that the 9-year-old in one day boy, if he gives her a get, or for that matter, if he does ma'amar with her, he ruins the possibility of yibum for the other brothers. V'sar Rabbi Meir yesh lo get. Does Rabbi Meir actually hold that he has the power of the get? V'atanya, we learned, asu bias ben teisha ki ma'amar bigadol. They made the bia of the ben teisha like the ma'amar of a gadol. Rabbi Meir, Amr Meir says, Asu chalitzas ben teisha ki get begadol. Similarly, they said that the chalitza of a 9-year-old is like the get of a gadol, v'im, meaning by yibum purposes. V'im isa lisnika gito, and if otherwise, why don't you just say it's like his get? Amr Afun Reid Rav Yeshua, Isle vizutar. He has it, he has this ability, but vizutar, we'll say vizutar means, but its impact is quite low. The Rebbe Gamliel do Amar in get acher get hani midi begadol acher gadol v'katan acher katan. So when Rebbe Gamliel says that you can't give one get after the other, I will say this is in a situation where ultimately again the woman is waiting for yibum and one gives her a get. Remember we've already learned before that lamaisa once the yavam gives her a get that negates the ability to perform yibum anymore. There is no such thing as one get after another. Hani midi begadol acher gadol. That's only when we're talking about two adults, the katan acher katan or two minors. Ava gadol acher katan mahani. But yet if the gadol gives the get after the katan, ultimately again such a get would be effective. Furthermore, the rabbanan da amri yesh get achar get, according to the rabbanan who hold that there is get achar get, hani mili begadol, that is only true where with the gadol, hani mili begadol achar gadol o bekatan achar katan. Aval katan achar gadol lo mahani, but the get that a katan gives after a gadol ultimately again would be ineffective. So we'll say what comes out from this particular sugya is the following, that lemaisa again, if there is a surviving brother who is 9 years old and one day, as much as he can't affect yibum, he does have the ability to prevent the other brothers from doing yibum. Why? Because we'll say he's an interesting point. Because even though, again, he is not a gadol, he's not an adult, but yet he's physically mature enough that his bia, according to Chazal, is an effective bia. So therefore, again, that bia ultimately, again, would prevent the other brothers from, bless you, from performing yibum. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, should the woman be waiting for yibum and the katan, who is ben teisha v'yomecha, 9 years old in one day, have bia with her, that would effectively negate the ability of the other brothers to do anything. Now, in such a situation like that, ultimately, again, one of the brothers would end up having to do chalitza on behalf of the entire family, but lemaisa, the option of yibum would in fact be lost, says the Mishnah on the base. Ben Tesh Shanim Yom Echad. So we'll say we're not finished with this Ben Tesh Shanim. So again, you have the Ben Tesh Shanim, a boy who's 9 years old in one day, Sheba Al Yivimto, that had relations with the Yivam, with the sister-in-law who's waiting for Yivam. Va'achar kach, Ba Aleha Achiv. And then what happens? Then after, again, he has relations with her. One of the older surviving brothers has relations with her. Ben Tesh Shanim Yom Echad, Posel Al Yado. Ultimately, again, it is the bia of the 9-year-old that ultimately, again, prevents the other brother from affecting Yibam. Look at Rashi. Posa al yado, tahav yilei kimamar achar ma'amar, dishnein tov sinba, v'chevan debaya get misheni, kam beisale b'chevan shalobana, shuv lo yivne. So we'll say, so the bia ultimately, again, of bia of the katan, ultimately, again, prevents the gadol from doing anything. Rav Shimon says, no, lo posel. It's not true that the bia of the katan does not go ahead and passel or negate the possibility of yibam by one of the older brothers. Look at Rashi. Rav Shimon Omer, lo posel. Kid the tiny time of the Gemara, as we're going to see in the Gemara, the kegon debibias sheni shkaga. Okay, we'll discuss what that means in just a moment. So the Gemara says, Ben Teshon of Yomechad Sheba Yivimto. So similarly, again, if you have the Ben Teshon of Yomechad, they had relations with the Yivama. The Achakach Ba'al Tsaras. And then afterwards, again, he had relations with her co-wife. posel al yidei atzmo. Ultimately, again, he goes ahead and parcels this through himself. Meaning, again, he negates this situation. Rav Shimon says, no, lo posel. He does not go ahead and parcel anything. If you look at Rashi, Rashi's pasla l'rishona al atzmo. He goes and he parcels the first wife onto himself, the first woman onto himself. V'koshkim l'shniya, debayis echat hu bona, ve'in bona shnei batim. V'chevan de'in bi'asa b'rishona kinyan glomer. Mahanya b'yashniya la'atzricha get. V'chevan de'yayev get, kam kulei besa below Yivne. Okay, so we'll see this in the Gemara, that ultimately, again, remember, the whole point that Mishnah is trying to stress over here is all these cases of the 9-year-old and one-day boy pose unique halachic problems, because again, on one hand, he's a katan, but yet his bia is still an effective bia. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon HaChachamim, Rabbi Shimon said to the Chachamim, in bia rishona bia, bia shnia ain't a bia. So Rabbi Shimon said to the Chachamim, if the first bia is effective, then the second bia is not. Furthermore, and if the first bia is not effective, then bia shnia nami eina bia. Then ultimately, the second bia is also not effective. Meaning, Rabbi Shimon says to the Chachamim, your shita is inconsistent. To which the Gemara says, Masnisin deloki ben Azai. Our Mishnah does not reflect the view of ben Azai. What did ben Azai say? Desanya ben Azai omer yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar b'shnei yafmin. Because ben Azai said that you can have ma'amar achar ma'amar with two different yavams, meaning you could have two yavams that consecutively do ma'amar with the same woman. Furthermore, v'yavama achas, and with one yavama. Ve'in ma'amar achar ma'amar b'shtei yavamos v'yavam achad. But one yavam can't go ahead and do ma'amar with two women. In other words, we'll say what ben Azai shita is, that because each yavama has a connection with the yavama, technically speaking, if each of them did ma'amar with her, such a ma'amar is effective. Now, obviously, only one of them could go ahead and ultimately do yibam with her, but the consecutive ma'amaros, I guess, are effective, as opposed to, again, to one yavam with two yavamos, so that does not work, because lemais, again, he's only able to go ahead and build the yibam home with one of these women. Next Mishnah, ben teisha shanim v'yom echad, Shabal Yevimto. So we'll say another situation. So again, boy 9 years old in one day that had relations with his Yavama, Umeis. And then what happens? Now we'll say, this is an interesting case. Here, say so Ben Teishashon, he tried to affect Yibam with this woman, Umeis, and he dies. He dies. So what's the halacha? Choletzes v'lo misyavemes. So she has to have chalitza and does not yibam. So we'll say, and this is an interesting case actually, because here she's obviously a widow from her first husband. That's how she ended up in this yibam situation. And now this nine-year-old who had relations with her also died. So what's the halacha? Now she falls before another surviving brother. So the halacha is she has to do chalitza, but she cannot do yibam with this, what we'll call this third brother now. So husband number one died, 9-year-old boy died. She has to do chalitza and not yibam with this third brother. Again, we'll discuss. Well, actually, look at Rashi quickly. Rashi says, "Ben teishon yom echad sheba yivim tomeis chovetzes v'lo misyavemes sheyesh alah zekas shnei yavmin." Because the Rebbe says she has again the zeka, the connection of two yavmin. Sheve ma'amar ze lo yotzasam yidei zekas nefila rishona. V'chal alah zekas nefila shnei. Otzraim perak arba achin mi she'aleha. So also remember again, we learned this before, that a woman is only subject to yibum if what? If there's one zeka, there's one yibum connectedness or bond of connection upon her. But if there are two, she is exempt from yibum, has to do chalitza. So also remember, so what's the case over here? So we'll call her Rachel. Rachel is married to Reuven. Reuven died, she falls for Yibum. Shimon, who's only 9 years old in one day, has relations with her. Such relations, again, essentially, we said before, according to our previous sugya, have the status of Ma'amar, which now means that she has two Zekos. She has the Zeka of deceased husband, number one, and now the Zeka of, well, we're not going to call it her husband, but brother number two, the 9-year-old, which now, by the time she falls to brother number three, the fact that she has two Zekos, two connections to deceased brothers, precludes her from doing Yibum with the third, and therefore, again, she has to do Chalitza. Nasa Isha Umeis, if this 9-year-old boy and one day, not sorry, 9-year-old and one day boy marries an Isha. Now, I'll say this is just a Stam case, not a Yavam case. So he marries a woman. He has relations with a woman. And what happens? And he dies. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is Hareze Petura. She is exempt from Yibum. Now, let's say the novelty over here, let's say he has in mind to affect Kiddushin with that Bia. Nevertheless, again, because he is a Katan, he cannot affect Kiddushin. Therefore, again, she's not subject to Yibam at all, meaning not Yibam Nachalitza Ptura. Ben Teishan of Yomechot Shabal Yivimto. So it happens, I will say, similarly, again, you have a boy who's 9 years old, and one day has relations with the Yivama. Umishe Higdil Nasa Isha Cheres. And when he grows up, right, he becomes an adult, he marries another woman, Umis, and then he died. So we'll say, now the Shaitla is, what is the stat? So remember, the woman that he married when he grew up, so you understand, if he doesn't have children, she's subject to Yibum. What about the Yivama? What about the woman with whom he had relations with when he was 9 years old in one day? What's her status if he dies? So the Gemara says, well, it depends. Im lo yodes harishon mishehigdil, if he did not have relations with the first one, meaning the Yavama, once he reached the age of majority, once he became a gadol, then harishon cholatzis v'lo mesyavemes. Then wife number one simply does chalitza, does not yibum. Vashnia o cholatzis obvis yavemes. But wife number two, whom he married after he became a gadol, does chalitza or yibum. So we'll say what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following. If he went ahead and he only had relations with this Yavama while he was a katan, so then when he dies, ultimately again, she does chalitza, not yibum, because he doesn't have a full-fledged connection to her. However, what we can infer from here is what? If he did have relations with her again after he became a gadol, then what are both saying? She'd become essentially his full-fledged wife, in which case she would be subject to the regular laws of Yibum or Chalitza. Reb Shimon says, Miyavim le'eza shiyirtza, v'choleitz l'shniya. Reb Shimon says it's a suffeg. Therefore, in this case, the surviving brother is permitted to do Yibum with one of the women, one of the widows of his now deceased brother, and he has to do Chalitza with the other one. Echad shehu ben teshan of the omechad. The echad shu ben esrim shlo hevi shtei saras. Now the Gemara also throws in one more piece over here, that this is true whether this brother in question was 9 years old in one day, or he was 20 years old but did not yet bring signs of physical maturation. Because you also remember, the suffix is the same, which is that if he's 9 years old in one day, so on one hand he's physically mature enough for his bia to be effective, but yet we don't know whether or not he's potent, whether or not he has the ability to father children. And at 12 years and 20 years old without simanim, for signs of physical maturation, also remember going back to what we learned before, there's a chashash that perhaps he's a sris as well. So those two individuals are in the same boat halachically. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hadam Rabbanan Zekosh Nayab, Min Michlatz Chaltz, Michlatz Chaltza, Yivim Ulam Yabma. So Rava said, that which we said before, that when there is a Zeka, for two Yadmin, Rabbi said, this is the case. I remember again, this is where the woman had a Zeka from two men, right? Her husband died, and then she had Bia with the boy who was 9 years old in one day, the brother. And then he dies. She falls before brother number three. So we said in the Mishnah that she can't do Yibum because, again, she has two Zekos attached to her. So Michlatz Chalit, she can only do Chalit. So Yibumi lo Miyamma, but she cannot do Yibum. Lo Teima Hecha Dika Tzara, Dika Lemigzer Mishum Tzara, Daha Hacha Leka Tzara, Michlatz Chalit, Yibum lo Miyamas. And don't think that this is only in the case where there's a co-wife. Out of concern that you have to be choshish for the co-wife, it's not true, because in our Mishnah there is no co-wife, and yet what? The halacha still is that a woman who has two zekos cannot do yibam, but can only do chalitza. Nasa isha umes. Tanina lahad tana rabbanon. This supports that which we learned earlier. Shota v'katan shenasu umesu. That if a shota or a katan, shota is someone who's insane, katan is a minor who married women, nishosein peturas mina chalitza mina yibam. Their wives are exempt from chalitza and from yibum. Why Rabbo say? Because again, those marital unions are not halachically recognized. Ben teisha mishehigdil. I viasu bias bentes kema mar begadol. So we'll say, remember again, this was the case of where the katan who was bentes had bia with the yavama. Then when he gets married, what happens? He marries another woman and then he dies. So remember again, the woman who he married when he was an adult is subject to the yibum chalitza. The shaila is, what is the status of the woman with whom he had bia, the yavama that he had bia with when he was 9 years old? So remember, the Mishnah said it depends. If he never had bia with her when he grew up, then ultimately again she does chalitza, not yibum. But what we can infer from that, if he did have bia with her when she grew up, then what? She's his full fledged wife and is subject to yibum or chalitza. To which the Gemara says, I don't stand viasu bia spendes kimar mebegadol v'tit chetzaram yibum. Why don't you say that the bia of a 9 year old, like we said before, Rabbi Osei, is like the ma'amar of a god? And therefore, if that's the case, we say that the Yavam, this 9 year old boy, did ma'amar with the Yavama. In that case again, the co-wife, etitchet sara miyibum, and the co-wife, i.e. the woman who he marries when he gets older, should also be set aside from yibum. She should be nitcha from yibum. Rashi says over here, we are fine. V'nitcha yibum. Amarav, lo asu bias bentes ki ma'amar begadol. No, because we did not make the bia of a bentes like a ma'amar of a gadol. Ushmuel Amar Asivas, Ushmuel said, not true. The bia of a 9-year-old is essentially halachically like the ma'amar of a gadol. The chin Amar Rabbi Yochanan Asiva Asur. Rabbi Yochanan said so too. That halach lemaisa, the bia of a katan is like the ma'amar of a gadol. The asu, and that's how we should hold. To which the Gemara says tanaihi. In reality, it's a machlokis tanaim Rabbi say about what the halachic effectiveness of the bia of a katan is. Do we say that the bia of a katan is like a full fledged bia, or do we say that the bia of a katan is like what? Is simply like the ma'amar of a gadol? There is a third possibility, which the Gemara does not understand because ultimately we rejected, is that the bia of the katan is meaningless. That we don't understand. It is meaningful in some way. Hach tana da arba achin. So this tana that we had before by the case of the four brothers, gazar mishum tsara, is concerned regarding ultimately again how he may paskin by the co-wife. The ashma inon begadol v'huadin bekatan, and therefore he teaches us the halacha of the adult brother, and all the more so it applies by the katan. V'hai de amar gadol mishum de begadol koi, and the other said, no, the reason why he phrased halacha in terms of a gadol is because we're talking about the case of a gadol. V'hai tana de hacha svira le asu v'lo gazar mishum tzara, and our tana over here holds that the bia of a katan is like the ma'amar of a gadol, and we are not concerned about the case of a tzara. We're not concerned that you may come to apply this by the tzara. V'ashma inan b'katan v'huadin begadol, and the halacha stated by the katan, but all the more so by a gadol. And why do we phrase it by a katan? Because katan is the subject of our discussion here. So once Rebbe Lazar came along and he stated this halacha, meaning we'll say, what's the halacha? That the bia of a katan halachically has the status of the ma'amar of a gadol. That again, the bia of a 9-year-old boy has the same status as the ma'amar performed by an adult. So he said this over in the Beis Medrash, v'lo amar mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. But Rabbi Lozer, who was the Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan, said this over, but did not attribute the statement to Rabbi Yochanan. Sham Rabbi Yochanan ikpid. Rabbi Yochanan heard this and he got very upset. Now, we'll discuss, by the way, we'll see it in tomorrow's daf, why he got so upset. But he got very upset that Rabbi Lozer, his Talmud, did not properly attribute the statement to Rabbi Yochanan's name. So what happened? Olegabe Rabbi Amir Rabbi Yassi. So Rabbi Amir Rabbi Yassi came to try to calm Rabbi Yochanan down. Omrulei, lo kach haya hamaisa beisak nesa shel Tveria. Did the following episode not happen? Or did not the following episode happen in the shul in Tveria? What happened? Binagar sheyesh birosho glustera. So we'll say they argued about the case. Gnagar is like a door bolt that has at its head a glustera, a knob. Shenechleka bo Rabbi Elazar Biosi. So we'll say Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi had a machlokis about this. Now if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, Binagar sheyesh birosho glustera. Four lines are from the bottom in Rashi. Sherosho av, the head of this bolt is thick. V'roi l'schikas shumim. You could use it to go ahead and crush herbs. Ulashar Tashmish, for other things. Venechlika bola inyin ilas delas, or Lazar Osa, Linol Bol, Ryosi Matri, Lefishiesh, Torres, Kliala, Umutra Tatla. So, also listen to this. So, this was a door bolt that you would put in the door. Now, the issue over here is the act of putting it in the door considered to be an act of binyan, an act of building or not? So, that depends on how you identify or how you classify that bolt. If you classify the bolt as a bolt, that's all it is, then Lemaisa putting it in would be an act of building. However, again, if you understand that bolt has other uses, like smashing stuff, right? Because it has a larger head. Then the ma'aseh, again, it doesn't have to be classified as an act of bolt of building. So what happened? Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi had this machlokes in the shul in Tveria. At shekaru sefer Torah bechamasan, and it sounds like they got so angry at each other that what? They tore a sefer Torah. So karus akadetcha, could that mean that they tore a sefer Torah in their anger? Eva ema shenikra sefer Torah bechamas. And rather, what it means is what? That a sefer Torah was torn. And I will say now, Rashi points out, what's the image over here? So we'll say, remember, they were learning, right? They were arguing in halacha. So what happens? They're both trying to prove their point from the sefer. So Rebbe Lazar pulls it towards him, and Rabbi Yossi pulls it towards him. And what happened? As a result of the heated debate, the sefer Torah was torn. V'hayoshan Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was there. He saw this, and he said, "Tamia ani, it'll be a wonder to me im lo ye beis haknes azu avodos kochavim, that one day this shul will turn into a place of idolatry." And we'll say, now what does that mean? Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said that a place where such anger and animosity, I mean, apparently, again, you know, say, there's one thing to argue with someone in halacha, we do it all the time, it's part of our tradition, but sometimes those arguments get too heated, and sometimes they turn into angry discussions. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma sees this, and he sees the anger, and he says, you know what, in such a place where there is such anger, spirituality of this place will not endure, and therefore I have no doubt that one day this will become a place of idolatry. A very strong statement. The Chaim Hava, and indeed it happened like that. And indeed it happened that this shul became a place of idolatry. Then I both say, now again, this shul in Tveria. Now again, what are they trying to say? So remember, Rabbi Ami, who was coming over here? This was Olegabe, who came. Rabbi Yochanan is upset, but who came to? Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yossi. So I both say, remember, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yossi are coming to Rabbi Yochanan, essentially what? You know, take it down a notch. You know, calm down. Because if you get so angry wherever there is anger, so really bad things follow. So we'll say it really backfires. What happens? So he says, V'hayasham, fine, V'china. So Hadar ikbitfei. Rabbi Yochanan got even angrier. Why did he get Amar Chavrusa Nami Oliga Chavrusa Nami? So he says, you know, so now what are you telling me? You're making a comparison between me, between Rabbi Lazar and me, between the case of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yossi were peers. We're peers. So Rabbi Elazar is my student. So you're bringing me, are you telling me that I should treat my student like my peer? My student's not my peer. He's my student. To which the Gemara says, Olegabei Rabbi Yaakov Aridi. So Rabbi Yossi will see, Rabbi Yochanan is still really angry. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi comes. Rabbi Yossi, actually, we're going to stop over here. I'm going to leave you on the cliffhanger. To be continued. Don't get angry. So Rabbi Yossi, we'll finally something that you get.
Yeah.
All right, Rabbi Yossi, we'll continue. So Rabbi Yossi, we'll leave off. Rabbi Yochanan is still angry. Emirat Hashem, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi is going to come to try to calm him down. We'll see if he's successful tomorrow.